Hey, Ma.
Yeah?
Ric Flair's 30 for 30 was on last night.
Yeah, I know. I watched a little of it.
What'd you think?
It was a pretty good show.
10,000 bitches he fucked, allegedly.
Yeah. Did he fuck more bitches than Paige fuck more dudes?
Oh, Ma.
It's time for... another wrestling podcast.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 171. I'm Credo.
I'm Minority Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, suckers got to know, I'm Angry Cooter.
Oh, no.
Well, guys, another week, another crazy time in the world of wrestling. A lot of stuff happened this week that was... surprising, I guess you could say. I just want to get right into it. Let's just get right into the week that was, because there's a
yes.
Lot
let's
of good
talk
things.
About JoJo and Paige's second released leaks. Oh my god!
JoJo's first release, and let me tell you that ass. Wow.
I thought I could skip it. I thought I could skip these guys, but they remembered.
You think you
they
were
going to
put that on the down, and I wasn't going to add it? No.
How the hell do you think I'm going to forget that ass? I mean, Bray Wyatt divorced his wife for that ass, okay? Yeah. I am not going to forget the fact that I got to actually see that ass finally.
You may be.
I could rest my wine glass on the top of her ass and just chill.
Wow. Well, hey, you know, it's another wrestling leak happening over here. You know, on top of that, though, because there is some incredible news that happened this week, and it was almost like we woke up to Christmas. That came a little bit too soon, I guess. But the whole announcement, this Alpha versus Omega, Chris Jericho challenging Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega. What a dynamic performer. What a fantastic, tremendous performer. But he's not the best in the world. I am. So many have claimed to be the best, from Shawn Michaels to Edge to CM Punk, but they're all gone, and I'm still here. Because I am the best in the world. I am the greatest of all time. I am the alpha of this business. And I'm gonna prove it. Because I'm challenging you, Kenny. Jericho versus Kenny. Alpha versus Omega. To see who is really the best. I want to meet you January 4th at Wrestle Kingdom 12 in the Tokyo Dome. So let's see who's really the best, bitch.
What about this news, guys? Was it out of right field, left field, whatever? Are you happy, excited, what?
I absolutely love it. I really do. They've been constantly pushing it on Twitter and going back and forth, and they had me fooled because I thought that was them building for the Cruise match. I did not even expect a Tokyo Dome match, and that match alone makes the Tokyo Dome match that much more bigger. The Tokyo Dome card that much more bigger, and the card itself is just incredible, and you add Jericho to that. I mean, New Japan Pro Wrestling has been doing everything they possibly could do to attract an American audience. What can they do to do that besides having, you know, the show in Long Beach, which was great when they had Cody Rhodes versus Okada? They did that. Now they brought in Jericho versus Omega. Jericho is known by every single casual wrestling fan in the world. So putting him on a New Japan card, that brings a new group of fans over just to see this match. And Omega has been doing a great job putting himself over too to the fans. But adding Jericho to this card makes it 10 times better. I woke up, I didn't even believe it at first. I thought my friend was just fucking with me. And then I looked deeper into this, and like, I found the video, and I was just like, wow, this shit's really happening.
I don't know. I'm almost like I'm on the fence with it. This is something I might have wanted to see maybe a few years ago. Look, Jericho is on top of his game in terms of promos and stuff like that. He's always been one of the best, if not the best. But at this point in his career, is he going to be able to hang with the Kenny Omega? I think so, because if you ask me, and, you know, get the hate ready, I think Okada is trash. I do. I think Okada is garbage.
You're going to have everybody Omega attacking.
Made him look like that's a
Angry
million
Cooter
dollars.
At AWP.
Suck my dick, haters. Okada is garbage. The Rainmaker. I'll make it rain. Cum shots on his wife's tits.
Oh, there
okay?
you go.
Well, fuck you.
It's such a good it's a good matchup, you know. It's a big name matchup, you know. It's a WrestleMania matchup. This is the Wrestle Kingdom matchup. But I'm almost on the agreement to where, you know, Jericho, man, I would love seeing this maybe 10 years ago. Grant, he's like he just turned 46 this week, so he's getting up there. But at the same time, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still going to be an awesome match. It's great to see both of these guys at it. I feel like, you know, Jericho is pretty much at the end of his game, if you know what I mean. But
is it his birthday today, Credo?
It is. But if you're listening to it, you'll never know what day this was. It's okay.
It was Thursday, and I had a beer at the bar, and I drink it in, man.
I think Omega is going to do a good job on kind of carrying the match.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I don't think Jericho's going to stink up the joint. I think Jericho's going to be on top of his game because I think Omega's going to bring the best out of him. But let's look at reality here. Omega's 33 years old compared to Jericho being 47. So Omega's going to be doing a lot of the brunt work of this match. But I'm going to go on record right now saying this has potential to be a match of the year 2018.
I'm going to agree with you on the simple fact that, like I was saying before, I think Okada was garbage, but Omega made him look like $1 million.
Absolutely.
I think he could do the absolute same thing for Chris Jericho.
Well, here's
Okada's garbage.
Here's the elephant in the room. Okay, Jericho versus Omega at Wrestle Kingdom. Could we see a rematch at WrestleMania? Could that even happen that the same year? Or is that too much wishful thinking? I know it's only a few months away, but
allegedly, I was surfing on my YouTube, and I like to watch a lot of videos and stuff like that. And there's a group that used to be with Walt Culture Pro Wrestling. They were let go. Now they created their own group called Cultaholics. They just reported actually earlier today that Jericho allegedly. Now, I don't know how accurate it is. So if you guys are listening, please don't kill me if I'm, you know, not as accurate as what these guys are saying on YouTube. But Jericho's still under WWE contract, apparently. I thought he had a handshake agreement, but they're saying that he's under contract. Vince has given him his blessing. Vince is behind this whole thing. I don't know how accurate that is, guys, but I mean, if that's true, then, you know, Vince is probably smarter than what we think.
Yeah, we never know what's really happening back behind the scenes, but hey, I'll tell you what. At the end of the day, if you could just predict who's going to win, though, do you give it to Kenny Omega out there? Do you give it to Chris Jericho to where maybe then Kenny Omega walks in his WWE front door and beats him at WrestleMania? Do we see something like that happening, or is it an obvious Kenny Omega win for you guys?
I think if Jericho is still under contract, allegedly. I mean, I know, Mike, you got this from the interweb, the most reliable source.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started with the interweb.
Right.
An article that was posted today. We'll get to that.
All right. But point being, hey, a little talent exchange benefits everybody, you know, brings WWE eyes over to that New Japan card. And if Omega was to maybe just show up at the Rumble or something and cost Jericho a match or a spot in the Rumble somehow, whatever. I mean, there's a million ways they could do this. Hey. Everybody benefits, don't they?
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, you know, the wheels keep spinning in the world of wrestling, and lo and behold, we kind of talked about that they're going to have something last week. Was it kind of not happening? Was it impossible? But it happened. AJ Styles, the two-time WWE champ, going to Survivor Series. There's not even a talk of a rematch versus Jinder yet. At least we haven't gone full circle to the 1 week till SmackDown. But still, guys, is this the better money match? AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar. I think it is, but
damn it.
It's almost a two-part question because you got that. But then on the other hand, where does Jinder go?
I was so looking forward to Jinder Mahal versus Brock Lesnar, Credo. I really was. Oh, my God. Thank goodness this happened. AJ Styles, very deserving. He's probably going to hold the belt for, you know, a little bit after Survivor Series and drop it to John Cena, who will carry it for 2 days and drop it to somebody else. But no, all jokes aside, oh, this definitely saved the card, because AJ versus Brock is way more appealing than,
oh yeah,
oh forget it,
for the masses. Well, you know,
the one thing I had a problem with, I understand it's taped, I do. WWE spoiled it before anybody else could spoil it, and I understand what they were doing, but they sent out the text message. Like, I'm sitting at my desk at work, and I get a text alert saying that there's a major title change at the SmackDown tapings, pretty much telling me that open this message and read it now. And it was a great moment. Like, the fans in the UK loved AJ. First of all, I love how they opened SmackDown, where it kind of gave you that Saturday night's main event feel, where they had Jinder Mahal being interviewed first, and he's cutting a promo, and then it cuts to AJ cutting a promo, and then they cut to the intro. I thought that was great. And then just the fans behind AJ, like, there's so much heat towards Jinder, and it just made it felt like a special match. And I personally think it was one of Jinder's best matches, because he's working with AJ, so AJ sold for him, and I thought it was great. The only thing that took away from it was the fact that it was spoiled earlier, so I knew the outcome. Like, I knew the end of the movie,
yeah,
you know? And that's the only thing that ruined it for me. But other than that, the match was great. I thought Jinder actually looked good in the match. AJ looked, as no pun intended, phenomenal, and the crowd was just on fire. It was great.
You know, the Jinder experiment has been going on. He's gotten a lot of hate. You know, granted, the guy looks great. He's done the work. But I don't know. I don't think he's been that great in the ring. Nothing in the ring, nothing with his in-ring presence really stood out as like, wow, you know, he's good high flyer. He's a good grappler. I don't know. To me, he's still generic wrestler. There's nothing too fancy about Jinder except for the way he looks now, pretty much. But yes, that could be worked on in the months to come. I mean, he's held it for almost 6 months of the year, so it wasn't a Christian championship win for a week or something or whoever, but he held onto it for a while. But he got a lot of heat from it. A lot of the fans started turning on him. You know, I think when Jinder won it, I was like happy with it. It was surprising. It was different. But then as time went on, it was just, all right, is he going to lose it this time? We're done with this kind of thing. And everybody's like, oh, he's got to hold it for the Indian tour, and yada, yada, yada. But he's gotten a lot of heat. He also said a lot of stuff. Cooter, did you read what he was saying online about – he posted it on Instagram. I think that's
– I stay off of the internet. I really do. I wasn't spoiled by the match. I actually watched it live. I had no idea what was going on. Here's the problem with that experiment. You had him in two rivalries. You had him against Randy Orton, who it's a lackluster feud, and some people you just don't have chemistry with. And then you have him up against Nakamura. And how can somebody have a program and build something with Nakamura when he could barely fucking speak English? Like, I love Shinsuke Nakamura, but in terms of building a rivalry against somebody like a Jinder Mahal, he's not really the greatest talker, but I mean, he puts in his work. You can't really have a one-sided battle. It's like somebody going up against fucking, John Cena, and Cena's not going to be there for weeks, or going up against Brock Lesnar, who's not there for months.
Yeah. It's true. It's almost like they kind of didn't know what to do with him towards the end of his run in a way, or it was weird matches. Like, he would beat Randy Orton with the help of the Singh brothers. And then, you know, he would win clean over Shinsuke. And it was like, are you a heel or are you not a heel? Cause he would get like a lot of those heel wins on people. But, you know, a lot of hate started building towards Jinder. And, you know, he took to Instagram saying, "To AJ Styles, you were the better man for one night. 6 months I held the WWE Championship, defended it countless times all over the world. I will one day raise the title again. To my haters and wrestling quote-unquote insiders, this is not, in caps, an experiment. I am not injured. I have not violated the wellness policy. So keep throwing shade my way. It only motivates me." You know, he's said something like this a few times now. Does he really need to bring it up? Does he really need to answer the internet marks who are just, you know, I don't know, hating on him? Or should he have just won and, you know, let bygones be bygones and just, we'll see what happens and what they do with him? I don't know. Or does he have to answer these guys?
I felt like he needed to throw that out there and just say it just to defend himself. Listen, I mean, like, I remember when he wrestled Randy Orton at Backlash in Chicago, and Chicago gave Jinder like an arms open welcoming, and they were cheering him on as if like he was the babyface and Orton was the heel. That Chicago crowd was all over it. And then as time went on, this experiment, as you want to call it, as everybody calls it, it just wasn't working. And I gave it a chance just like everybody else, because it was different, and we always ask for something different, and we're finally given something different, and it just didn't work. And I personally, in my opinion, didn't think it was, his changes had to do with any testosterone or steroids or anything like that. I actually thought he was busting his ass to work, but the internet just kept hammering that this guy is on roids, this, that, and the third. So, I mean, he held that title for 6 months. I mean, Vince actually had confidence in the guy for 6 months. I can't take that away from him.
Take it away from him?
AJ Styles.
No.
Who?
There was a report that I read online, the most valuable source on the planet for the
interweb.
The interweb, correct. I want to say it was Bleacher Report, that on Brock Lesnar's last appearance on Raw, he personally went up to McMahon and said he had no way, shape, or form was interested in working a program with Jinder Mahal, and that there had
to be. I read that, and I also read it wasn't that. I read that it was a shoulder injury he's been dealing with for months, that finally putting him in a match with Lesnar would just make that injury worse, because we all know how Lesnar works.
True. Right?
I saw something too, saying Paul Heyman was kind of behind it too, pushing for AJ Styles to get the belt before Survivor Series. So I don't know. There's a lot of things, but it's almost similar. Interweb. That's it. Tales from the Web, guys. But hey, it's definitely a better matchup for Survivor Series.
Like, it's like a whore.
I'm almost sad that it's just it's not really for a championship. You know, it's just who's the better champion of each brand, right? So no one's really going to walk out with each other's belt or whatnot, which that would be awesome. But at the same time,
I feel like that this match is not going to end with either guy getting pinned. I feel like Jinder is going to interfere somehow in this match and cause like a disqualification or a no contest because of that. You were going to get a great match. AJ's going to sell for Lesnar like a motherfucker. Lesnar's going to throw him around. Lesnar better sell some of AJ's offense, and then Jinder somehow is going to end up in this match regardless if we want to see him or not. I feel like that's the way out of it, to make both champions look strong.
It's definitely piqued my interest for Survivor Series now, especially for that main event, and hopefully it is a main event and not like the third to last or whatever. But did you guys catch the Flair 30 for 30 ESPN documentary? Did you guys watch it? Any thoughts about that?
Absolutely loved it. I loved it so much. You know, I've always been a huge fan of Ric Flair. You know, just his lifestyle just intrigues me. But being able to sit down and get an in-depth view of his lifestyle, it was just so it's hard for me to put it in words. It was just so good. And watching it as a wrestling fan, it made it 10 times better. I mean, they made everything come to light with, you know, his alcohol problems. I love the story about him quitting and Vern Gagne went to the bar and slapped the shit out of him and made him come back. They made it seem like Hogan was like his like ultimate rival, and it made that rivalry feel so much bigger when they were both in two completely different promotions. I mean, you had a guy who was all about saying his prayers, eating his vitamins, and drinking his milk, and you had another guy who was just simply about sex and booze and looking good.
That's it.
And then they went in depth when he signed to to WWE or WWF at the time, and how big that match could have been, and the WWE dropped the ball on it. But overall, like, just it was sad, emotional. It was such a good 30 for 30, and I've watched a lot of 30 for 30s, and this by far was probably one of my favorites. And I'm not saying that because I'm a huge wrestling fan. I'm just saying that because whoever directed this did an amazing job doing it.
And it's almost like it opens the door for the WWE Network to be like, hey, this was the most watched thing on TV that night or whatever, with the ratings when it came out. And if we start telling these stories about our guys a little bit different than just trying to sell DVDs, that's going to probably attract more people to the network. No, I mean, what if the WWE network did? They're kind of doing it too with their own little stuff, but I mean, they're doing it once every how many months? And I don't know if they had more stuff like this on the network to where it was like, I don't know, the real life of, you know, Hulk Hogan or whatnot. Do you think more people would be willing to get the network almost? It's like, hey, this is on cable TV. Can't we just throw this on the network?
You know what I really liked about it was the fact that it opened the curtain to the fans that don't watch wrestling. Because I have a guy that I work with who doesn't watch wrestling, but he was just interested to watch this 30 for 30 because he's a huge sports nut. And he texts me, he's like, I'm not a wrestling fan, but this is absolutely incredible. He's like, I'm getting an inside of the business that I've never understood, because he's one of the guys that says wrestling is fake. Us wrestling fans, we take that personally. Like, hey, it's not fake. It's choreographed. It's scripted. He is the type of person that, like, he didn't understand the punishment that these guys go through, but watching this documentary, he got to understand it. And then he got to understand the pain, the torture, everything that these guys go through. And then he got to see the life of Ric Flair, who's one of the greatest of all time. So, I mean, like I said before, this documentary is just amazing. If you guys haven't watched it, people that are listening right now, go out of your way, find it, find when they're airing it again, and just sit down. It's an hour and a half. It's amazing.
Hey, you can watch it online too.
I got a question though. Did they talk about the other people who were in the camp with Flair?
Yes, Ricky Steamboat. They talked about him.
Steamboat wasn't in that camp, was he?
Yep, with Vern Gagne. He was in there.
I thought he was the year after.
No,
I know you had Greg Gagne.
Yep.
You had Ken Patera.
They didn't really go into too much detail with Ken Patera or anybody like that, but they did showcase Ricky Steamboat explaining the camp that they went through and how they had 21 flights of stairs and had to run those stairs. And then when they were done running, they had to pick a partner and they had the fireman carry their partner up the stairs, come down and then switch. And then they had the log roll ups.
It was crazy.
Vern Gagne put them through hell. Okay? Like, I know what it's like to do with that stuff because I've been through wrestling practices in high school and college. So, I mean, that's extreme right there. But Steamboat was there.
I would have loved to have seen a bar scene with Flair and Sheik. how incredible would that be?
You know what? That's probably they can't really do it because there was already a documentary on Netflix. I was just thinking they should do a 30 for 30 on Sheik, but there was already a documentary that was put out.
Yeah,
that was a great documentary too.
It was.
That's right.
That's why I'm glad this aired on ESPN as opposed to something from the WWE Network.
Because
there's so much that they would leave out, and they always put their own spin on shit. And they probably didn't have much control over what was said or whatever. So,
it was sad too, because they got into detail about the relationship between him and Reed, which was his son that passed away.
Yes.
And they got into detail about how he was just never there for his kids. And Flair even said, from 1972 to 1999, I was never home.
That's crazy.
That's a long fucking time. And then when he got home, he said, I'm sick and tired of this stuff. And he would go to Greg Valentine's house and just drink and party.
And commit adultery.
Jim Ross told the story on this documentary how they were in a hotel bar and it was just him and Flair. And Flair always has to go crazy. He goes to the bar and buys 137 kamikaze shots.
Yep.
And gives them out to everybody and just goes crazy and just turns that bar that was filled with just like 15 people into a massive party. And it was just Flair always had to have companionship. He always had to have somebody there with him, whether it was just a dude to talk to or a bunch of women to fuck. And he always had to back it up with alcohol. That's something that Jim Ross brought up in the documentary. So, like I said, guys, if you haven't seen
it, anyway. You got to laugh because that guy, Conrad Thompson, who used to do the podcast with Flair, does it with Tony Schiavone now. And he always tells a story. One of Flair's favorite things to do is to watch other people get shit-faced. You talk about those shots of kamikazes. He said Arn Anderson would call him out on it and would say, well, yeah, it's easy for him not to get drunk. When everybody else is taking the kamikazes, he would dump them out in the plants because he would just want to stay sober so he could see you get shit-faced.
Well, regardless, you know, I hope they're making more. I hope WWE smartens up a little bit and actually does documentaries like this to show us their actual real life instead of what they
want
us to
see. You know who's going to be next? You know who's going to be next is Hogan. I feel like they're probably not WWE. I feel like 30 for 30 Hogan. I feel like that's going to be down the road.
Yeah. Well, either way, the fans tuned in and made it the most watched show that evening. So, hey guys, I don't know if you've been watching these qualifying matches on SmackDown and Raw and who's joining whose team, but, Cena just got a tweet out of it saying that he's back on the SmackDown and he's part of the SmackDown team. Shane McMahon tweeted it.
I know. I love Rusev so much.
And at one point, we thought we lost John Cena to Raw, and it was only for just to put Reigns over, and he's right back on SmackDown. I guess he had nothing to do or need to pay for something. So,
talk about brand loyalty.
I always feel like Cena's about to retire or go away for a while, and then he's like, oh, nope, I'm back. I'm still here. I'm just right over here. And I thought, like, after that whole Raw segment, I thought we weren't going to see him probably the rest of the year because he's shooting whatever, doing whatever movies now. And he became The Rock, basically via satellite. But I don't know. He's back on the SmackDown team. And why? There's no just because they need somebody. I mean, out of all the people on all these teams – you have fucking John Cena, which doesn't make sense, and then you have on the other end Jason Jordan, which we won't talk about. But SmackDown, did they need Cena in this match?
Happy to be there, bro. happy to be there.
He stands out like a sore thumb. But
happy being that main event.
What does Cena play in this? Is it just because we just needed another name, or I don't know? Meningitis worked its way up to somebody else.
Here's my thing on it. So, all right, I get what the WWE's doing. They wanted to add more star power to this match because I'm sure that spot that Jason Jordan has was really meant for Roman Reigns, but Roman isn't ready to go. So they needed to add some star power to it. So they put John Cena's name in there. I get it. I get that aspect. However, when you play into storylines, it makes absolutely zero sense because Shane McMahon said everybody has to earn their spot on this team. He made Rusev, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, guys like that try to earn their spots. And then John Cena is just handed a spot. It makes zero sense. It gives these heels big arguments to complain about this, that Shane could have been out to get them. It just doesn't make any sense. I get it. John Cena's a big name. This is on the third. Granted, he's filming Bumblebee or whatever the fuck he's doing right now. Bring him in for star power. However, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, it really doesn't. Random.
I was actually looking forward to the Shield versus the Usos, and now that's not going to happen. It looks like we might get the Shield versus the New Day instead, which is kind of cool in a way, but I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on this shit?
It's weird because it seems like it's the Shield came back like, oh, we're going to tease it for weeks and weeks. And then they finally team up and then fucking meningitis happens. And then Roman's out. And then we got to bring in Kurt Angle. And then you had Triple H overseas join the Shield. And now it's just like I feel like they're going to get this big push again to just being that team. And now it's kind of like fizzled away. And now we're going to get them against the New Day. I feel like it's almost below what they were probably aiming at with this. But then that whole sickness caught up with everybody. I don't know. I mean, I like how it's a 3-on-3 and it would be a Shield versus a New Day. And, New Day's pretty big and they're big in their own rights. But still, I don't know. I feel like New Day is below what the Shield probably would be doing right now. And then it's like faces versus faces, the New Day, even though acting like heels, but they're still faces with everybody. And I don't know. It's weird.
I feel like they have to do that match simply because of a couple of reasons. One, meaning past Monday, the New Day was the reason. One of the reasons why the Shield lost the tag titles, yes. The distraction finishes, which I cannot stand. But they are the reasons why. Another reason is because we have a 4-hour pay-per-view that we're going to be dealing with, a 2-hour pre-show and a 4-hour show. 6 hours altogether, guys.
That. One of the big can't fours. Wait.
Yeah. So they have to do something to fill that time. I mean, granted, you have the traditional match. You have two traditional Survivor Series matches. You have Lesnar versus AJ. And then you also have a bunch of other stuff going on, but you need something that's going to take some time on there. So they have to do it. Plus, I didn't really understand, how. Okay, guys, here's my grievance I'm going to go off about this right now and see if you guys can feel me on this. So they talk about how it's like under siege and how like the New Day just came out of nowhere. But how come their Titantron and their music went off? Like they have to let Raw's production team know that that music is going off. Why couldn't somebody on the Raw brand, on the Raw production team, tip off Kurt Angle like, hey, the New Day is coming down soon? I'm like, I don't know what goes through creative's mind with this. Like, it would have been a lot better if there was just no music, no Titantron, and the New Day just came out of the crowd and caused a distraction. But with the music going off, and it's too make-believe.
Yeah.
And I hate using that word, make-believe.
Well, you know, we're getting there, though. I mean, you know, it's the whole Under Siege thing. I think we're going to have to do a whole Under Siege show. We're definitely going to have a Survivor Series special, unlike, Steve's Wrestling Ramble. We'll have a special, too, but we're going to have to compete. But one thing, KO and Sammy, it's my little transition, were sent home earlier from the European tour. Now, hear me out. This is kind of strange to me. We don't know exactly why they were sent home. From what we hear once again on the internet, so we're going to repeat it to you, but from what I was understanding, in that match, they were supposed to feed the New Day after that, where they were supposed to get beat up and so on. But that's what the result. That's what Pro Wrestling Sheet was saying and everybody else, but they were kicked out off the tour because they didn't I think it still went the way it was supposed to go, but apparently they were still supposed to stay in the ring to get beat up by the New Day, which doesn't make sense. But okay, you're going to send these guys all the way back to America because what, they didn't stay in the ring for five more seconds or something? Like, they didn't, you know, it wasn't like they screwed the match and the other guy won or just walked out. And you know what I mean? Like, for what the reasoning is online, from what people are saying, why they were sent home from the European tour does not add up why you'd be sent home from, especially two of your biggest names out there. Guys, tell me about this. Did you hear the stories behind it? Does it sound like something else is going on that they're just trying to, I don't know, make up? Somebody's trying to say something for this. I don't know.
Come on. This is Kevin Steen we're talking about. He was bound to blow a gasket sooner or fucking later. Come on now. We all knew that eventually there'd be something creative that he hated. And I'm surprised he's lasted as long as he fucking has in this company. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Kevin Owens. I think every time he gets put in a shitty situation, he tries his best, and I'll steal one of Mike's phrases, tries to make chicken soup out of chicken shit. And somehow he pulls it off. But even the money you're making, at some point you got to just look at yourself and be like, what the fuck is going on? And it's obvious it's not just him. There's got to be a bunch of other people, obviously, who are sick and tired of the really bad creative. And I'm sure that has to be. Look, I'm not getting beat up by the New Day for no fucking reason. I don't even have a spot in the card right now. And I'm a top fucking guy. Fuck you. Send me home. I wouldn't be surprised. Would you really? Like, seriously, you've seen him butt heads with management and fucking Ring of Honor and fuck it. Everywhere he goes is an issue.
But listen, you're in Europe. You're in Europe for about two. Was it, and they're there for what, like a week and a half, 10 days maybe?
Yeah.
You miss your family. You're getting sent home. That's a reward. You're getting sent home early so you can go spend time with your family. That's great. But I think there's more to it because, all right, so let's look at pro wrestling as a whole and let's look at how they book their heels and their faces. So the end of the match happens and Kofi Kingston gets the win and Kevin Owens gets Sami Zayn out of the ring. That's a typical heel move to get the fuck out of the ring, because when you really look at the numbers, you have three faces versus two heels. Two heels aren't going to go back in the ring and get their asses kicked by three faces. They're just going to, you know, cowardly escape and get away. That's typically how everything is booked. So I don't understand why Vince wanted them to get back in the ring when it's a 3-on-2 scenario. It just doesn't make any sense. That's dumb. Like, yeah, that's not going to create any heat at all. Like, I understand if there's three heels and two faces, then that creates heat and that creates, you know, the faces going down compared to the heels. But it just didn't make any sense at all. And I've heard, or not heard, I don't have any sources that I've heard anything, but I've read that lately Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn haven't really been good to work with backstage, is the words I read, that they're hard to work with. I heard on Busted Open Radio today, Bubba, who's still close with Devon, Devon's one of the road agents, who said that these guys are a pleasant to work with. They're great to work with. Like, I don't understand why people are saying they're hard to work with. And then there's just other stuff floating around that Kevin Owens is very unhappy that he shared his opinions on the tour bus, and it got back to Vince, and Vince wasn't happy about it. And Sammy always says something. And I don't know. Half the time, you can't even believe what you read on the internet, yeah. But these guys were sent home for something. And we don't know the facts, but there are facts out there.
Yeah, and it's just that reasoning. It's like, okay, they didn't do that one little thing at the end. And like I said, it wasn't like they totally reversed what the ending was supposed to be, or they totally – like something major. Like, oh, shit, these guys are going to get sent home. You know, that little thing at the end. Like, to me, that's not a reason to be sent home from Europe. You know what I mean? Like, that's – I feel like there's something else has to be going on, that they were sent home, that this – you know what I mean? Like, it's just a little minute thing. Like, oh, fuck, they didn't stay in the ring for 5 more seconds. Fucking send them home. Like, no, that doesn't make sense, especially being like these names. You know, Kevin Owens, he's a Universal Champion, Intercontinental Champion. You know, he's been everything. And I don't know. He's a big name. And just to get rid of him that really quick, something else is brewing out there, guys. We'll find out. But guys, I'm kind of happy to report this. And like I said, you know, we're just reading what we get out there. But it could be the end of James Ellsworth as we know it, guys.
Stop it.
It's the end of an era.
You put this horrible in the fucking rundown.
The end of an era.
JoJo and Paige's fucking leaked photos. Get the fuck out of here. You know what? Just for that, Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth was a must-see match on SmackDown of the Week. So fuck you, dickhead.
James Ellsworth looked like what James Ellsworth should look like. Just completely out of shape, sloppy. I mean, if you look at James Ellsworth from Tuesday compared to James Ellsworth when he got his ass handed to him by Braun, is it completely different? The guy just let himself go. And honestly, the way that his character is, that's exactly how he should look. Just like a sloppy mess.
Well, you know, he was kind of in a good position. You know, he had a lot of ass thrown in his face over the weekend in this little match with all the girls beating him up.
James Ellsworth
beating him up. But, you know, Carmella turned on him by super kicking him after the match with Becky Lynch. So it's pretty much been a year, believe it or not, that he's been signed. So this could just be another way to write him off. And with that, I'm so happy.
It's the greatest day of history for you, isn't it, Greedo?
That is it.
Did you call him a sloppy mess?
He looked like a sloppy mess with no shirt on. It was disgusting. And the best thing is
his face looks like – his face and body with no shirt on looks like Charlotte's titties with no shirt on.
With that said,
the best thing though with that match was Corey Graves in commentary. He was ripping Ellsworth apart, man. It was I love Corey Graves on commentary. I can't go without having Corey Graves in commentary. It's just amazing.
Well, with that, that was pretty much the week. That was a long week in a long winded wrestling experience. I don't know, a lot of shit happening.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the must-see matches of the week, a.k.a. the Angry Cooter mixtape from the 4 shows that I watch, Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, and, of course, NXT. Raw, I gave it to Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe. This match is a fucking awesome. Just when you think these guys can't put on another classic, here we go. We don't even need a finish. Fuck it. Put them both in the goddamn team for Raw. That's how we roll. SmackDown, I gave to AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal. Clearly, just because, thank God, we don't have to see Jinder Mahal versus Brock Lesnar. God bless Vince for giving us this early present. 205 Live. Damn. Cedric Alexander and Mark Andrews versus Joseph Connors and James Drake. These motherfucking... how do I want to say this? These British guys need to get more TV time, especially not just Tyler Bate, but But the fucking champ himself, the UK champ, Pete Dunne, got his fucking first match on Raw. I need to see more of these guys. I don't know about the rest of you motherfuckers, but last but not least, NXT, Roddy Strong versus your boy, Adam Cole, baby. Leading up into next week, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm looking forward to two more weeks before that War Games, goddammit. And that is your Angry Cooter mixtape. And if you don't agree with me, you can tweet at me or whatever. Go fuck yourselves.
Well, there you go. You know, guys, we talked at the beginning about a dream match, if you will. Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega happening, a match that probably didn't think would happen as soon as it's happening. But, you know, it's a dream match. You know, there's been some dream matches over the years where we've had Hogan versus The Rock. You know, Cena versus The Rock, they said, was a dream match. Once in a lifetime turned into three in a lifetime. But you know what I mean? Some of these big name matches we only get to see once in a lifetime, if you will. Guys, I want to talk about some of the matches maybe you have on your mind that are dream matches that never happened, dream matches that still can happen, or just any kind of fantasy dream matchup. I'm kind of curious what's on your mind and, you know, what you're thinking about is a dream match that has maybe will never happen or maybe could happen down the line. So, Cooter, if I start with you, maybe just a personal one out there. And before I get to some, I'm going to throw out your way, guys, of we'll get your opinion on. But tell me, Cooter, is there any match out there that you're just dying to see or wish would have happened?
I think it could still happen, this match. I doubt it will happen in WWE. But something I would love to have seen would have been Daniel Bryan versus Kurt Angle. It would probably just remind me way too much of Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit because they just had those similar styles. But I think those two would have amazing chemistry in the ring and probably put on that six-star match, goddammit. Take that, Meltzer.
What about you, Mike? Is there a match out there that's just, I don't know, a dream match for you that's waiting to happen or possibly might not ever happen?
There's a couple that might not ever happen. I'll throw out two of them that probably will never happen. You have CM Punk versus Finn Balor. I think that match would tear the roof down. That'll never happen, but never say never. And then you have one match that both guys on their soils are a big deal, meaning John Cena versus Tanahashi. John Cena is what Tanahashi is to Japan. Tanahashi is what John Cena is to United States. Super Cena, Super Tanahashi, pretty much. I think that match is a dream match because both guys, I mean, granted, we all sometimes will shit on Cena, but the guy could work. And so could Tanahashi. So I think those guys will tear the roof down.
Yeah. Well, you know, guys, the great, great dream matches. Let me tell you about some matches or get your opinion on. We don't have to, you know, talk about this forever, but just, you know, maybe give me your two cents after. I'll throw some matches out there. Matches we'll probably never see. One of the biggest matches I thought we had the potential of seeing in our lifetime, but they dropped the ball, was Sting versus The Undertaker. You know, they had a great buildup. And what sucked was you had Sting, who's never going to be in another WrestleMania again, and he had that one chance to be in it. And you put Sting against Triple H, and then you put The Undertaker against Bray Wyatt. Did that even need to happen? Like, just fucking, you had one opportunity, one last shot to give us, regardless of their age or whatever. We were like on the verge of having this happen, and it fell through. Like, what? I want to know, like, who, what, when, why? You know, the creative team was saying, that's, they don't want to see that. Or if anybody fucking said, we'll just wait till next year. Don't fucking keep putting these things off because the guys don't keep getting younger. Guys, Sting versus Taker, was that something you wanted to see? I was really hoping for it, and it just never happened.
I would have killed to have seen that. I mean, I thought that's where they were going. I remember when Undertaker was making a return, and they were doing these vignettes where he was in the desert, but there was a scorpion walking down the fucking in the sand. Right, yep. And everybody swore up and down it was Sting, and they thought he was leaving TNA. And maybe at the time, I believe Sting had said that he was in talks, but he ultimately picked TNA over WWE. But I mean, could you imagine if they would have done that match 5 years earlier than what they would have. It would have been a classic.
Man.
In 2011, when it was supposed to happen, that would have been great. I'd love to see that match too. I mean, I can't really say everything that I want to say because Cooter just said it for me. Like, just the build up. Like, I remember those vignettes when I was one of those people that thought that was Sting. I was like all about it. And then all of a sudden, Undertaker came up. A little bit of a disappointment it wasn't Sting, but it was good to see Taker. But that was a match that I would have loved to have seen. That would have been great. It would have been a big money match.
Oh, for sure. We kind of saw it this year. I don't want to really talk too much about it, but we didn't kind of see it this year. We saw it at WrestleMania where it was like DX versus the NWO. In their prime, that would have been a really good money match, right away, like right when they're both, had a lot of steam going, not like 10 years after and whatnot. Like, I really wish that would have been something that would have been done early enough. Even last year we had some rumblings of people talking about AJ Styles versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. They were trying to get Shawn Michaels to come do a match against AJ Styles. Didn't come through, didn't fall, whatever happened. But man, guys, one last match, one more match for Shawn Michaels against AJ Styles. Would you have loved to see that? Or is it that – That's a great dream match, right? I don't know. That's money.
We talked about this, and I would love to have seen it, I don't know, 5-10 years ago. And I think AJ could do for Shawn Michaels in a match today that Shawn did for Ric Flair in his retirement match. Because I don't think Shawn – I don't know what he's got left in the tank.
Yeah.
Could he do a match like that? And you know what? I'm good for him not tarnishing his legacy.
Sure.
You know, from watching what AJ did for Jinder this past Tuesday on SmackDown, making Jinder look like an amazing wrestler, I think he could help carry that match if it were to ever happen. I don't want to take away from Shawn. I mean, I know he's old and he's been out of the ring for a while. I'm sure he has, some tricks up his sleeve that he could still pull off a match. I think that match would be amazing to watch. I think it would sell tickets like a motherfucker. I mean, that's your equivalent to a dream match that could possibly still happen right now. I mean, Cooter brought up Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania. That was a great retirement match. I think the only thing that could hold to that level would be Shawn Michaels versus AJ Styles. I mean, that right there would be it.
Definitely. One of the biggest names of each generation, one Hulk Hogan, the other Stone Cold Steve Austin. We were kind of on the cusp of this happening a long time ago, but I think when, the NWO actually came back to WWE, that's when we got the whole Hogan versus Rock match, and Steve Austin was put up against Scott Hall, and nothing really happened with these two. But man, a Steve Austin versus Hulk Hogan match, guys, that right there, I mean, two of your biggest names in the history of wrestling could have had a semi-decent match. That would have been a great dream match. No.
Wasn't that supposed to be the match at WrestleMania, but instead they pulled an audible and went with The Rock instead?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm telling you right now, I think if Austin was in that match, it would have been complete garbage. Because at least at that time, Rock could work. Austin was like just a brawler at that point because he was so limited with what he could do. And when you have somebody like Austin, as limited as he was, up against Hogan, who was pretty much at the twilight of his career at the time. Granted, he put on the performance of a lifetime that night. Jesus Christ, that would have been a shitstorm. Ole Anderson would be sitting in his chair going, oh, guys, this is the shits.
So I can agree and disagree with that, meaning like Austin versus Hogan. I think when you look at star power and just the names, I think that would sell.
Yeah.
But when it comes to in-ring, I mean, Austin was a good in-ring technician when he wanted to be, and he can actually wrestle. But him going against a guy like Hogan, I don't think it would have been as an exciting match as if it was The Rock.
Sure. You know, it was the Icon versus Icon match. But, you know, it's almost like a what if, right? What if they really went with Austin and Hogan? It would have been, I don't know, something worth to see. Who knows? Let us know. You know,
yeah, I got one.
What's that?
Can we throw out some dream tag matches? Because I mean, we've talked about the classic internet matches that everybody wants to see, but what are some personal ones? Like, I got a tag match I would have loved to have seen that'll never happen. Would have been the Road Warriors versus the Dudleys. God damn it. Those four beating the shit out of each other would have been amazing. God damn it. You imagine Bubba Ray Dudley putting Hawker Animal through a fucking table or a doomsday device through the table.
A good point. I like it.
What if you took, I mean, you talk about dream matches, you know, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about names and I'm just throwing names in my head. And what if you took a guy, you know, a guy that's invisible right now to the WWE, but what if you took a guy like Chris Benoit and you put him in a ring against a guy like Daniel Bryan?
Oh,
that match would be so fucking technical. And I love technical matches. I really do.
No, for sure. Oh. You know, okay, so some of the things that probably we're never going to see happen, there is still hope on the horizon for some matches that we can see happen, guys. So there's still hope on some great matches coming up, you know, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, right? Well, what else is out there that we can see that just really hasn't happened in the full spotlight of the WWE, at least, or in the top of the mountain, if you will? Is there any that stand out to you? I think one thing I just want to bring up, and you can let me know what yours are, but, you know, a simple match as they've kind of been teasing it. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but like a Daniel Bryan versus Shinsuke Nakamura kind of a match. Now, I know what you're saying. You know, he's out. He retired from this and that. But, hey, Kurt Angle fucking had a match, and I'm still hoping on for some kind of match with Daniel Bryan, whether it has to be somebody or else he's just going to go to Japan and do it himself. But I would love to see a Daniel Bryan Shinsuke match. One last kind of a match. I don't know. I think I think we need to bring Daniel Bryan back if you could bring Kurt Angle back, right?
I'm all about that. And that's always been a big match that people talk about, especially when Shinsuke had the Intercontinental title in New Japan and Daniel Bryan was holding the Intercontinental title in the WWE at that time. The internet just buzzed about what if, you know, New Japan did a joint show with the WWE. The first match that came up was IC champ versus IC champ, Nakamura versus Daniel Bryan. That, you know, got my attention. I'm sure it would get everybody else's attention. I would love to see that match.
Damn. The possibilities.
Just the possibilities will probably never happen, but let's just pretend like it might.
I would enjoy the match, but probably laugh my balls off in the buildup because, you know, this is Nakamura we're talking about.
Well, Nakamura, who shouldn't be talking, period. But, you know, creative likes to fucking give him these lines and give him these nursery rhymes to fucking say. Don't get me started with that. But I mean, if creative can just stay out of it and just let this naturally and organically have a buildup, it would be hands down an amazing buildup and a great, fantastic story in the ring.
You know, has AJ Styles had a match with Seth Rollins yet?
Yeah. I mean, they've had house show matches, and if you watch this Seth Rollins documentary on the network, they show that one of Seth's matches when he was like 19 years old was against AJ, and they actually have that match on the documentary.
No shit.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty decent match.
Yeah, not to get too much into it, but you know, just another quick Daniel Bryan dream match. It's not really, yeah.
You're on Daniel Bryan's dick tonight, boy.
I know.
It could work.
But, you know, a really good story would be him versus The Miz, just after all the shit he did on Talking Smack and, like, just to give him that one match. You know what? That'd be a shoot fight, man. He'd fucking just kill The Miz
I have to agree with you on that because they were building something that, like, deep down, like, I knew it wasn't going to happen, but, like,
if it does, also
deep down, I wanted it to happen so bad.
Yeah,
I'm gonna kill.
The Miz is just so good with being that antagonist and just pushing people's buttons. And then, like, they had just the perfect story there, and they couldn't do anything with it. And it just bothered me so much as a fan.
I'm going to kill Credo's buzz right now. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Another dream match. Daniel Bryan versus James Ellsworth in a retirement match.
That's not a dream match.
There goes the buzz.
Hey, you got to move back and forth like a windshield wiper.
Week number three, and we're still on Rocky Five.
Hey, Tommy, I didn't hear no bell.
Well, let me bring up this one thing, and I'm kind of surprised that they wasted it. I mean, I know they had to build some star power, but we talked about it. Finn Balor versus AJ Styles at TLC. Great match. Should have been a WrestleMania-type match. Did they kind of blow their load a little bit premature, if you will, pun intended? It's a Bullet Club member versus Bullet Club member. I know we talked about it briefly, but, I mean, that was like a match everybody kind of wanted to see. They wanted to see the two former leaders of the Bullet Club go against each other, and what better place than a fucking B pay-per-view than TLC? Like, really? Out of anything
you
could
have
did?
I thought it was better for TLC. You know why? Because they threw it together last minute, and it didn't give them time to fuck it up with some shitty-ass fucking line. It was like, oh, shit, Roman got mumps or hepatitis or syphilis, whatever the fuck it was, from one of the rats he was fucking on the road. We got to give him something to promise in the Shield. And what did we got? We got a fucking great match between AJ Styles and Finn Balor with no stupid story, no bullshit, with enough history to where the casual wrestling fan is like, oh, cool. Bullet Club leader versus Bullet Club leader. Boom. And they got what they wanted at the end. The two sweet after a great finish. Boom. I was happy because it wasn't destroyed for me by Vince.
You know what? I don't even have to say anything. I mean, he just said everything that I wanted to say.
Thank you.
There was no story to it. It was every wrestling fan's dream. This is a match that everybody's always wanted to see, and it's never happened. And it just was put together
it's organic, Mike, like a morning erection.
The independent wrestling scene, there's always matches that are just put together just for the fans. And this felt like an independent show where there was a match just put together for the fans. Now, granted, it was under circumstances that people just, were sick and infected, and that's none of my business. But they put together a great match, and I can't complain about it.
There you go. Well, let me tell you this. And I'm going to ask you guys this question, and I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. We talked about dream matches, this and that, dream matches. Now, recently we had – it's not a dream match, but it was Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. Now, okay, hear me out. In an essence of a dream match, it's almost like a legend versus legend match or something like that. But for my question to you is, who is left in the WWE, or it doesn't have to be in WWE, they could still be working somewhere else or whatever, that's kind of has that legend status? I mean, Bill Goldberg, we've known him for years. Brock Lesnar. Is there anybody out there that could still put some kind of match like this on? With maybe a Rock versus somebody, just to give you an example. But are we few? And I'm stuttering because I can't think of like the right thing to say. Is that, are there anybody left? Are any legends left? Or is there anybody left to give us a big kind of like a marquee match that's not like 60 years old or something? Now think about
it. We're getting it, don't you think? We're getting one with AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar.
Sure. I mean, it's a dream match, but just I want you to think. I want you to rack your brains while I say a few more things. Of who else? Who else is out there that we could probably get a good match with? And I want you to just pick one match. I want you to guys think. This is throwing them on the spot. We've had no.
I know where you're going with this, and I know.
I don't know.
But it's just so difficult to even think about it because, like, I know you're thinking about guys from the past. I mean, like a guy like Goldberg and a guy like Lesnar that were Attitude Era / WCW guys that put on a big match, a marquee match at WrestleMania. And when I'm trying to think about it right now, I'm like, I can't really put my finger on anybody right now that,
I mean, the only thing
guys that could still put on a match.
The only thing I could think of, and I know it's like a hard question, maybe it was a stupid thing to bring up, but it's like, I know, remember they had a little rumblings about having a Rock versus Brock match. That's probably one thing I could say. I mean, the Rock is up there, but he's he fucking pulled the hamstring wrestling Cena or something like that. But I mean, still, his body's, I mean, he's in good shape, but like a Rock versus Brock. But other than that, I'm trying to think, I'm like, there's really not too much left. You know, it's like, you know, Cena right now is, you know, the senior, the head of the class or whatever. And, you know, besides him fighting anybody else, it's like, we're out of legends. We're out of people to use, you know? That's a good question. Anybody out there listening, too? I mean,
we're out of legends.
They like typically have that one nostalgic feel match for WrestleMania, and I don't see who they're going to pull this year out of the fucking out of the grave.
It'd be Cena versus somebody, because Cena is starting to have that nostalgic to him. I just can't think of it.
I know. It's a hard question. I kind of wanted to just, you know, to rack your brains a little bit, see if there's anybody you can think of.
If our listeners out there are have any suggestions out there, give us a tweet.
Yeah. What's your dream match? Is there a dream match left out there or something like an icon versus icon? I don't know. I don't want to see, like, you know, 60-year-old versus 60-year-old. I want to see somebody who actually could put on a decent match. And I was kind of surprised with Goldberg. He's up there, but I know it wasn't a 5-star match, but it was still like, hey, he could still entertain us for a few minutes. But I don't know. It's a tough question. And maybe
I got one. I got one.
See, I knew I had to buy enough time for this. What is it?
No, it's not. It's got the nostalgic feel. It's got a little bit of everything that you want to see. It's a fatal four-way.
Fatal four-way.
All right. You get an AJ Styles and Samoa Joe who have worked together, but I don't think on this grand of a stage with a Daniel Bryan. Because you know what? There's the nostalgia right there. And for even a little more nostalgia, let's throw CM Punk in there.
Ooh.
Fatal four-way. You know, elimination.
You know, as much as people hate it and whatnot, I'll tell you right now, it's like, we don't know if CM Punk would ever do it again, right? You know, he's stuck in his little UFC world and whatever he wants to do with that. But there might come a time to where either A, I'm out of money, or B, you know, I just fucking love wrestling, and now all my friends are fucking in the WWE now, so why not? You know, because he was the guy pulling for Samoa Joe's and pulling for Austin Aries, even though he's not there anymore. But, like, you know, all the people he was always talking about are all in the WWE now. So it's, man, that'd probably be something. Is CM Punk coming back, and, you know, that'd be a good fatal four-way. I don't know.
CM Punk, he needs to get back to wrestling because he has not done anything in MMA since he got his ass whooped. They keep talking about fights for him, but they're so mismatched. It's ridiculous. It's so bad.
Well, guys, girls, children of all ages, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Who do you want to see fight each other? Is there a dream match? I mean, come on. Let us know, will you?
You've always been a lightweight.
Okay.
That's why I'm like, and that was the thing. You're sending me these messages as I'm doing the podcast. And my mic is off. Everyone's looking at me like, Mike and Steve, what the fuck are you doing? What are you laughing at? Because I'm in hysterics over there, like, flailing around like an asshole.
I forgot you were doing the podcast.
No, I told you that I was doing the podcast, and you just kept sending me shit anyway.
Yeah, I think I must have just ignored it. Like,
it's like, oh, this will be good. This will be a good time.
If there's one thing I learned about Olive Garden with Angry Cooter, it's that you can have all the meat sauce you want. You don't have to be bashful with the meat sauce. They'll keep bringing that shit out like you're running a train on page.